Right. Ethel, would you like to lead us on some worship?
Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
And congratulations to you as you take on your citizenship this week.
Thank you.
For anyone who hasn't done or been through a citizenship ceremony, that's an incredibly awesome thing. Doug and I became U.S. citizens while in the States, and it's a very, very moving experience when you actually take on the citizenship of another country and realise what that actually means. It's really quite a powerful thing. So, congratulations on that. Just this week, as we've been thinking about the whole thing of honour, and Doug's been working on that, I thought it would be a really cool thing to see if anyone's had something that they, just some little snippet that they want to share, that something's been really cool for them with the whole thing. Anyone?
Well, I had a marvellous week in Christchurch with my two nieces, and one of them is leading a retreat at Canberra Springs this weekend. And it was on orchestra and musical instruments. And I began to tell her about some musical instruments we had at home in an old box when I was a kid. And there was a wooden flute and a mandolin. And I said, that was incredible, getting this mandolin out and playing it. And I haven't seen it since I was a kid. I suppose it got burnt in a fire when we shifted or something. And she said, I think I've got something like that here in a cupboard. And she racked it away and found it. So I had the most joyful reunion with my
mandolin. I was thinking about the whole honour thing. It's really interesting that, you know, sometimes we, in our services, we just go straight from the notices and then the minister speaks or whatever. But being a pastor's wife, it's been really interesting for me to know how much a pastor really appreciates the preparation that leads into his message. Otherwise, it's like it's cold turkey and all of a sudden he's just up the front and he's got to speak into something that there's no ground made for. It's a really cool thing, and I wanted to just say how much that is to honour Doug and to honour other ministers and pastors as they come up to preach and have that preparation for them. And it's not just a whole lot of stuff in between, but it's just a preparation for them so their heart's right and that they come up and that they've sort of just been able to get their thoughts together. Something that's been really touching my heart quite a bit about this whole honour thing is that it's so easy to talk about honour that we might do outside of like home or whatever, but very many times the honour that we need to have is to the people within our own home. And so many times we forget that. And there are two things that have been on my mind this week that I really felt to share. But quite some years ago, I worked in a business. It was quite a lot of years ago. And there was a lady in the business who was probably about 50 years old. And every morning tea time without fail, she would tell everybody about what happened that her husband didn't do right the night before. And you know, after a while I thought, God, thank you for showing me that I never ever want to do that today. I never ever want to do that today. And I made a commitment when I was working at that place that I never ever wanted to dishonour Doug and criticise him. And it was something that was really important to me, that from then on I thought, I don't want to have that critical mouth. I don't want to be the type of person that even with my own husband, if there's something that happened, that I can share it with one person. I don't want to be that person that has that critical mouth. And so that for me was a really strategic point in my life, to honour Doug and not to actually criticise him in any way at all. Sure, we have a bit of fun, but there's a line that crosses sometimes when you criticise. And the other thing that, with the honour thing, while we've been sort of in all this house stuff, and it's been like about 7 months, little Josh, our grandson, who turns 9 in a couple of weeks' time, he was really going through some hard stuff, and his schoolwork was suffering. And Doug and I being out here, we think we'd be praying for Josh and things would happen. But as I look in the back of his book, you know, his times table wasn't up to where it should be, and his spelling was getting worse. And I made a commitment about 3 weeks ago that I was going to pray for this little guy and honour him, whether he made mistakes or whether his spelling wasn't good. I was going to honour him anyway. And Doug and I made the commitment together. Well, to see this little guy now, he's been through about three different sets of times table in the last three weeks. His spelling has changed from being just an absolute scribble to, and he's noticed it as well. I said to him the other day, your spelling has got so good, Josh. And he said, I decided that the teacher couldn't read my writing, you couldn't read my writing, and nor could I really. So now it's gone from like this, and just scribble, all over the page, to about this big. And it's as neat. And you know, what we've been doing with him is honouring him. And every time that he's done the littlest thing right, we've honoured him, we've praised him. And just his math has been building up and building up and building up. And so many times in our own homes, we just forget all about the honour. We can look at someone else and honour them, but sometimes it's a lot harder to honour someone in our own home. And I just wanted to share that today. You know, we talk about revival and stuff like that, but revival has got to happen in our own hearts for it to grow in us. So that when it starts in us and grows in us, then it affects the whole church. And that's when, you know, we think, well, we want revival, but how can God revive our church if we don't want to be revived in ourselves? And it's a huge part for us to honour God with that. We've got a couple of songs this morning. A Good, Good Father, and how good God is to us. And he's not just good to us sometimes. He's good to us all the time.
Yes.
And it gives us those 10,000 reasons to praise him over and over and over again because of what he's doing in our hearts and what he's done for us. This morning, I have to admit, I didn't really want to come to church today. I was too busy sitting on the bed watching lambs being born. And, you know, it was really cool to see these mums and I thought, you know what an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing to praise God for the lambs and we see them. I know it's hard work for the farmers, but it's an awesome thing when you don't get to see that every day. Farmers see that a lot. And, you know, sometimes it's a bit of ho-hum and it's work and all that, but for people who have never seen that, that's a cool experience. Okay. So let's stand and sing together. 10,000 reasons why my heart should sing. Thank you, Joe.
Sure, good, good Father, it's who you are.
Thank you.
us that we will sing like we've never sung before, and we'll worship you. And Lord, whether the music's going or not, may our words to you be sung like we've never sung them before, because our hearts are full for you.
That's it.
Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm.